producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Wake up, America! Who's next? That's the question. Who's it going to be when we get into the real stuff? Results, the primaries, that's part of the conversation. Plus, what's happening in France? 150 world leaders in one picture, needless to say. It wasn't a selfie, and this is that giant climate summit. We'll talk about that as well. So we move in a few different directions here. Plus a conversation with Dr. Brian Russell about what it is that holds us back. The negativity that we're pummeled with in our brains and what you can do about it. He did an interesting study and put together a wild book about it. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So that's where we start. Let's start with a warning. We've heard this now a couple of different times. The U.S. Embassy is warning Kabul about an attack, that an attack is imminent in the next 2 days. So it's all hands on deck and certainly warning people to get out of the country. And as far as anybody coming into the country, they're saying this is a credible report that this is going to happen in Kabul City. And it's a heightened threat, so the embassy is telling citizens to be extremely cautious if you're moving around in the city. That there were no details regarding the targets, the timing, the method, but that this is a serious possibility of an attack. Of course, the embassy issues a lot of those warnings, but this comes with the leaders of Afghanistan and Pakistan who are meeting on the sidelines of the UN conference in Paris. So you have the Pakistan Prime Minister and the Afghan President, Ashraf Ghani, which could be maybe a step toward resuming some of these peace talks that kind of broke off, and perhaps this is why the warnings are out there. And here's the question I have. How many Americans are tooling around Kabul? I'm just curious, other than people connected to the efforts. I'm going to say I have a feeling not a lot of Americans are over in Kabul. At one time, there probably were great places to see. Now, with what's happened in the last decade, more than that, I would say not likely. Donald Trump says, not likely you'll see me on December 15th for the next GOP debate because it's on CNN, and they messed me over the last time. So I'm saying they need to pay me $5 million to be on that stage, but I'm going to donate that $5 million to the Wounded Warrior Project if CNN writes the check. This on the heels of meeting with black pastors at Trump Tower, where initially a press conference was going to be held, then that was called off, but the meeting was 2.5 hours long, so then there were black pastors that were willing to speak to the media, and Donald Trump spoke to the media in the lobby of Trump Tower. Trump said there was a lot of love in the room. Collectively, the group of pastors not endorsing him, individually, several of them are. In the meantime, he was asked again about comments he's made in the last week, especially as to Muslims celebrating 9/11 when there was a disaster going on in New York. They were celebrating across the bridge in New Jersey. He was pressed on this issue when he was a guest on Meet the Press and didn't get a satisfactory answer. Now you have Chris Christie saying that it's not true what Trump is saying, that there weren't U.S. Muslims cheering on 9/11, that it just did not happen. Did not happen. And then you have Jeb Bush saying Trump's uninformed. He's not serious. He's not serious. Then you have John Sununu, a former fixture in the G.H.W. White House, Bush White House, if you remember, and also the former governor of New Hampshire, telling Newsmax TV that people have to get serious and forget about Donald Trump. Decide who it is you want, because this counts when we get to the primaries. So there's the question. Who is it that you want, America? Who makes the best prez, or who makes the best of the worst lot? This is also endorsement season. So Chris Christie nabbed a huge endorsement. Rubio grabs another top endorsement. And what do endorsements do? Well, it's trying to assure votes may go a certain way with a large number of bodies. And there are certainly big, big, big endorsements that are always knocked down, drag out. In the case of Rubio, he is looking to get the runoff of Romney when Romney was running, some of his backers, and this is what happened. He's been endorsed by one of the key Mitt Romney allies, John Rakolta Jr., a national finance co-chair for Romney's campaign in 2008 and 2012, made the announcement that, you know, that this company, he's a CEO of a construction company, that he snagged this huge endorsement, and you know, they're going to spread the word. Because Rakolta said he chose Rubio after weighing the candidacies of several other establishment favorites like Jeb Bush, like Chris Christie, like Ohio Governor John Kasich, but decided to go with Rubio. And, you know, somebody said to me, what does an endorsement mean? An endorsement means that there are people that look to some people and say, oh, if he's voting for them and I like him, I think I'm going to vote with what he's saying. I think I'm going to go with who he's talking about, which in a way seems kind of weak, doesn't it? Endorsements and money make campaigns go round. That's for sure. And then you have other call-outs happening along the way, including back in Washington, the biggest call-out that you can imagine. This is enrollment season, and the Senate Republicans think that they can actually pass Obamacare repeal. They think that they can get that done. Repeal a key provision, anyway, of Obamacare, if they can get the 51 votes. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced an amendment to a House-passed bill that would phase out Medicaid expansion over a two-year period in the hopes of moving forward. And it would deal with the individual mandate portion of Obamacare, which requires people and companies to buy health care insurance, or you get fined. So now they're going to try to push that through and see if it happens. Wow. I thought that this was dead on arrival, but apparently not. Stay with us. We're kicking it to the other side.
Concerned about harmful contaminants in your water? Look to ProPure, the most trusted name in gravity water filtration systems. ProPure, with the silver-infused Pro-1 G2.0 filter, removes over 200 contaminants, including VOCs, heavy metals, chloramines, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, fluorides, and radiologicals. We don't just say it, we back it up. The Pro-1 G2.0 filter is NSF 42 certified and independently tested to meet NSF 50 2023 and P231 standards. ProPure Water, the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. Purchase with confidence in quality, performance, and customer service. Take advantage of our biggest holiday 25% off sale going on now. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533. 800-544-3533.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
We've had an amazing year here at Supernatural Silver. We've truly enjoyed the fantastic response from thousands of people as they've tried our extraordinary product, and we're thrilled at the life-changing results people have. Our company email is continually full of happy, satisfied customers who thank us for the help they've received from Supernatural Silver. This holiday season, as you think of gifts to give your loved ones, consider giving Supernatural Silver, a gift that can help provide good health and wellness, a gift that can change lives and make a real difference. In a world where we are constantly exposed to dangerous health threats, give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance. Give Supernatural Silver. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code HOLIDAY2015 for 20% off. And this holiday season, we wish you and yours the blessings of peace and good health from all of us here at SupernaturalSilver.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Talking on America Tonight a lot about the Syrian refugee crisis, and you know that there's a line in the sand, certainly with a lot of the politicians and governors, namely, in so many states saying, oh, no way, we're not going to take any of the refugees. But we think back to what happened with Cubans, Vietnamese people, Korean people, and we've had many people on the show talking about that. Dr. Vin Chung joins us. He's the author of Where the Wind Leads, A Refugee Family's Miraculous Story of Loss, Rescue, and Redemption. Dr. Chung, thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Kate. It's a pleasure.
So let's talk about your family and what happened with your family when they fled and then ultimately settled in Arkansas.
Sure. So after the fall of Saigon in 1975, my family lost everything to the communists. They took our business, our cars, they kicked us out of our own house, and we were forced to live in the rural Mekong Delta in a little shack without electricity or running water, and that was where I was born. And after a few years, my parents realized that there was no future for their 8 children. So they loaded us up in a boat, and we took out to the sea. And we, at one point, were drifting for days without food or water, and we were at the brink of death until we ran across World Vision, which was this Christian humanitarian organization that sent a ship out to assist the refugees. And so from there, we were accepted to a refugee camp in Singapore, where we stayed for 3 months. And eventually, it was a small Lutheran church in Fort Smith, Arkansas, that sponsored my family.
And so what was that like when you came, after going through all of that, what was that like when you came to the United States and got to Arkansas?
Well, the entire world was turned upside down. It was, you know, as if you were today picked up and dropped into another country where we didn't know the language, we didn't understand the culture. My father in Vietnam was a powerful, successful businessman. All of a sudden, found himself in this new country where he couldn't speak the language, but he had 8 children to feed, and so he scrambled to find whatever job he could, and he ended up sweeping floors, doing manual labor with his hands to support his 8 children.
Wow. And so you watched your father do that, and we should tell people he must have been incredibly proud. You went to Harvard. You're a surgeon. Of course, you're a best-selling author with a book that I mentioned, Where the Wind Leads. What did he teach you as a child that led you to have such self-belief and to be able to leap the way you've leapt through many different layers in the educational system?
You know, he taught us through example, and he took on a job that was beneath what he was capable of, but he did it because that was the way that he needed to support his family. He took on jobs that nobody wanted, and he stuck with it for about 3 decades, and over the years, my parents had 3 more children, and over the years, it was their sacrifice that allowed all 11 of the children to graduate from college. Together, we have 22 university degrees, including 5 masters and 6 doctorates. We've graduated from Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Georgetown, NYU, UPenn, and other major universities. And today, their 11 children live across the country serving the communities in this country.
What would you tell people of the situation that we see now with the refugees in Syria to keep in mind as they see these faces and the horrific things that are happening as they try to escape the violence?
You know, I think that first and foremost, I see it as a humanitarian crisis. I know that there are political and legal issues that must be resolved. And in the long term, I hope that the violence in Syria would end so that people can go back, all 12 million of them could go back and resume their lives so that kids can go back to school and people can go back and rebuild their country. But until then, we currently have 12 million people, half of whom are children, who have been displaced because of violence. And I would like us to look at it and recognize that underneath all of this, underneath the political mess, are real innocent people who are just suffering and wasting away. And I hope that we can respond and help alleviate suffering, just like what World Vision did with my family in 1979.
Yeah, tell us about the book. Now take us back to the book and what the idea was when you sat down to pull this together.
Yeah, our goal was to do 2 things. One was to help people to understand refugees and immigrants and have Americans see them differently. It's also to speak about the American dream. And a lot of times when people think about the American dream, they often simply say that anybody could become anything in this country. And I think it's a very simplistic way to talk about it. But the truth is that in order to become someone in this country, and in my instance, in order to become a Harvard-trained surgeon, it requires multiple decades of just hard work and sacrifice that sometimes had to be continued over a generation. And for me, we grew up in a small town in Arkansas. I faced all the challenges that you would imagine being a poor refugee kid. But it was through hard work, and it was also through the acts of courage and kindness of just our neighbors, my teachers, my coaches, and everyone that really had allowed it to happen. And so the American Dream is really a series of opportunities that require people to commit to and to sacrifice, but it also requires individual Americans to reach out and to help others.
Dr. Vin Chung, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's a pleasure.
Wow, what a fascinating story. Unbelievable, Dr. Chung, again, talking about, first of all, how many kids, his family escaping the communists, as he said, then dealing with what they dealt with. What I love about what Chung talked about is the fact that you see how they came from nothing and they did realize the American dream. And part of that was because of the way the community, many in the community, embraced them. They had to deal with plenty of problems along the way, not knowing the language, dealing with people who certainly weren't as embracing. But for the most part, because they had people that were helping them that also helped the Chung family realize how far they could take it. And he made such a good point when he talked about it took years and years, because he's mentioning how his father sacrificed so much and just did anything he had to do, because he had this family and he was going to do whatever he had to, whether it was manual labor, which he mentioned, five jobs, three jobs, doesn't matter. He had to do it. He had to take care of those kids. And it's wild to think about that when you think of what's happening with the Syrian refugee crisis. And this is the problem, because, yes, we have the governors opposing the refugees coming in, and the problem is the nefarious sort of people trying to also be as part of that stream. And this is the ISIS situation, where you had the ISIS terrorists who snuck into the country in France amid that stream of refugees. And this is why there is so much opposition to having the same thing happen in the United States, for fear of somebody getting through, and look what a disaster that was in France, and how horrible is that. And I can remember as a kid, my mom pointing that out to me, what was happening with the Vietnamese refugees, the boats. If you think of the boats in your mind, and how horrible it was. In the 70s, as he mentioned, when he came over, he was just 3 years old and part of that big family, and what the challenges were, but how embracing so many people were in the United States. And wow, I think the family, so impressive to me. This is what you call bootstrapping. When people complain, they don't, you look around and they call it first world problems. Oh, I don't have this. I can't get a MacBook. I'm, you know, struggling with the, with whatever the, not necessarily monetary, maybe the lack of money, but with something physical that you desperately think you need, and we have all this stuff, and it is wild to see what happens when somebody who and we have that in this country, absolutely, across the board, people who come from abject poverty and raise themselves up to beyond whatever the wildest dream could possibly be. And with Dr. Chung, by the way, he serves on the World Vision's National Leadership Council, and he and his wife have three kids, and they've got their own practice, and it's I think a fascinating story, and I'm glad he wrote the book that has intrigued so many people. And again, it's Where the Wind Leads, A Refugee Family's Miraculous Story of Loss, Rescue, and Redemption. What that was like for his family, and to come as such a young child and be plopped into nowhere, to, as far as they're concerned, because they're thrown into, come into a country which they're grateful to land in, but complete strangers and no knowledge of the language. They lost everything to the Viet Cong. Wow. Defeated after the fall of Saigon, and how awful that was. All right, stick with us.
Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
I want to be able to smoke inside, cut down on cigarettes, jog without wheezing, be kissable, and save money.
Then you want the Sig e-cigarettes. Get the highest quality, best tasting vaping experience on the market with unmatched customer service from the Sig. And right now, gobble up this deal. Buy $30 worth of any products and get a starter kit for only $5. Use code SK at checkout. But hurry, offer good only until Christmas at lesig.com. LECIG.com. Kick some ash with the Sig.
Boy, this is a huge problem. I love the fact that in our virtual green room we have Dr. Brian Russell. He's a psychologist and the author of the book Stop Moaning, Start Owning, How Entitlement is Ruining America and How Personal Responsibility Can Fix It. Boy, have we talked about that a lot on this show. Dr. Russell, thanks so much for coming on.
Having me, it's my pleasure to be here.
So I think the thing I love about the title of your book is I totally get what the book is about. What did you do to research this, or was this pulling this together from all your personal experiences of listening to people and a whole bunch of other methods?
Well, it's partly that. You know, I think many people listening know that entitlement is a big problem, but they haven't had a chance because they've been busy. They've been working their jobs, raising their kids, to do some of the things that I've done. And that's part of why I wanted to write this book. I have had great opportunities in my life to be able to study people, human behavior. I got a PhD in clinical psychology. I've had an opportunity to study how society goes about trying to regulate people's behavior through the law. I'm an attorney, and I've also had an opportunity to study how we try to make people's behavior be as productive as it can, because that's what every business wants to do, and I've got an MBA. But then I went on and I actually practiced those professions so that I have the real world experience that you're talking about and the stories and the cases that I've heard. But I've also traveled around the world to 35 countries on 7 continents to really see how other societies wrestle with some of the same problems that every group, large group of human beings faces. And so I really do think I come away from all that with a perspective on how we can all live together most peacefully and prosperously that really required all of that to have. And because other people have been busy doing other things, now you've got the book and you read it and you know what I know.
I love it. Wow. So you really have a lot of research actually put into this real world experience, which is what I presumed. So in the book, one of the things you talk about is what's happened now? How bad is this damage that we've done to ourselves, to kids, to careers, to relationships, and to the country by perhaps mangling the words, the pursuit of happiness?
Well, that's right. As I say at the beginning of my book, the pursuit of happiness was meant to be just that. The founding fathers believed that we all had the right, we were all entitled, if you want to say it that way, to pursue happiness, but nobody had the right. Nobody was entitled necessarily to attain it, and certainly not at the expense of other people. Certainly no one was entitled to have happiness handed to them by other people. And as we have gotten farther away from the personal responsibility that made the country into the freest, greatest, most prosperous nation in the history of the planet, I think that it has started to feel that way to a lot of Americans. It has started to feel less like a blessing, the opportunity that we have here to chase happiness, and more like a given, more like an entitlement, and they feel ripped off if they're not happy for whatever reason. They don't feel good enough. They don't have the right enough things that they think they deserve. People are trying to actually hold them accountable for their behavior when they feel entitled to a pass, to forgiveness, even when they did something willfully destructive. And as you mentioned, that is hurting us. It's hurting us as individuals, as families, as relationship partners, as businesses, churches, schools, organizations, communities, and then ultimately as a nation, it's hurting us.
Yeah, it's hurting us because people feel so entitled, and when they're not, they're angry, and they don't pursue whatever pursuit it is that they could possibly be good at. You have, I don't know, procrastination, depression, all kinds of problems.
Yeah, you know, there are people, certainly, we all have known them, who have had things to moan about. They've had horrific illnesses, things have happened, other people have done horrible things to them that have complicated their lives. But even in those cases, what you see is that it's very rare that a lot of the time spent moaning does much to fix it or to get them back on their best track. So it's rarely the case that moaning is very helpful for very long. All of us moan a little bit throughout the day when something doesn't go our way, we're stuck in traffic, whatever. But any sustained period of time that somebody spends moaning is usually time that would be better spent trying to own at least going forward. They might have not had anything to do necessarily always with where they're at right this minute, but where are they going to go in the next minute? You're usually going to get a lot better place if you are owning, okay, what can I do now, as opposed to getting fixated on what other people did or didn't do in the past.
Yeah. So you talk about this in your book. How do you empower us to reassert that control over ourselves and our destinies? How can we do that? For everybody listening who falls into this trap, or they know people in this trap, how can you turn it around?
Okay, so the elements of personal responsibility are accountability and obligation. So accountability is looking in the rearview mirror. What have I done? What role have I played in getting myself to where I'm at? If I'm not satisfied with it, especially, what has my part of that been? If it's involved me doing something that has been destructive to other people, I need to see if I can fix that. I need to apologize sincerely. But beyond that, I need to also see if there's anything I can do to make amends for it. And then I certainly need to accept the obligation now going forward to not repeat that and to have my behavior going forward be productive. And the obligation is not just to myself to have the best life that I can have for me, that's a little entitled, it's to see myself as part of something larger than myself. And that could be many things. It could be a marriage, it could be a family, it could be a church, a business, a community, the country, whatever. But when we go through life seeing ourselves all the time as part of something larger, that causes us to think about the impact of our actions upon others and to want to make the best impact that we can. And that actually then turns out to do just what you said. It causes us to look for the ways in which we can make the best unique contribution that we can. And again, that's all different too. But when we do that, that's when we tend to be not only the happiest, but we tend to prosper financially, at least be able to support ourselves and have some wants along with our needs met. So in every way, and it tends to make our relationships healthier.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you say being part of something larger, serving. There is kind of a movement about talking about serving, and that if you're, you know, if you're feeling these feelings, if you get involved with charity work, let's just say, in some sense, but where you actually have hands-on, where you're actually doing something. We just went through Thanksgiving, and if you're we're serving people food, something that you don't normally, let's say, do, you don't reach out, that does swell you up and make you feel like you have a sense of pride or that you can contribute, right? That's another side of this.
Yeah, I guarantee there's someone listening to us right now who is not happy that it's the holiday season. There are many people who feel depressed at this time of year. And when I talk to one of those people, I usually say, what you need to do first and foremost is find a way to be of service during this time of the year. And you can do that in whatever way you would like. If you would like to go feed the homeless at a homeless shelter, that's great. If you would like to go collect toys for tots, that's great. But I think when you do something for others, when you put yourself in the service of others, you feel better. It reminds you of all of the ways in which you're blessed to be able to do that. And it takes a little bit of that edge, a little bit of that focus off of yourself and whatever it is that you are lacking in the way that, you know, that's moaning. Well, I don't like these holidays because I don't have a significant other right now, or I don't have enough money to buy the things I want to buy for myself or for others, right? That is a fixation on what is absent. And I think giving focuses us back on what is present.
Yeah, and finally, this is, and you write about it in your book, How Entitlement is ruining in America, .. So if we keep going down this path, what is the danger of that, if more and more people just keep doing the same thing?
Well, it makes us as individuals less productive in many ways. If you think about it, it's really the common thread between all kinds of societal problems that we're having, everything from, addiction to obesity to debt divorce to crime. The common thread through all of that is entitlement. And so it just sort of it weakens the fabric of the society at every level. And you can see it at the macro level. You can see it at the big level when you look at the fact that as a nation, we have decided that it's okay to have $18 trillion and growing every minute of debt. We have done what so many individual Americans have done, which has been to give ourselves things that we really don't have any business having. So as individuals, a lot of Americans are living an unsustainable life, and as a nation, we really are living an unsustainable life. And that's just unsustainable means just that. It can't go on like that forever. Certainly not when we have surging global competitors who are not doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great talking to you, Dr. Brian Russell. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
We are the future. 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 With the many stock market ups and downs over these last few weeks, many people are asking themselves, are they doing the right thing? Do they have the right financial plan in place? Here's the real question. You should be asking yourself, do you have the right financial professional in place? Well, my friend Rocky DeFrancisco, attorney and founder of the Wealth Preservation Institute, has authored a new book called Bad Advisors, How to Identify Them and How to Avoid Them. In this book, you'll identify financial planners who are forbidden by their broker-dealers from giving you the best advice. You'll understand why most CPAs, EAs, and accountants don't even provide proactive advice to help you save for your taxes. And, of course, you're going to identify insurance agents who are forbidden from selling you the best products available in the marketplace. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. It's only your retirement dollars. And for a limited time, we're going to give you the free ebook version of this book, Bad Advisors, How to Identify Them, How to Avoid Them. Call right now, 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take control of your financial lives today.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit BrightsideBen.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Ben team. Go to BrightsideBen.com. That's BrightsideBen.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
Lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. The kind of music on you, you won't have to think twice.
Time flies. Once again, can you believe it? We're hitting the tail end of another hour of America Tonight. I call this the grab bag as we tie everything up that we've been talking about. And, of course, at the top of the hour, mentioning again that the same players are on the stage, we think, December 15th for the next GOP debate. However, the big threat, the gauntlet, has been thrown down by Donald Trump, who says, you know what, CNN, you can stick it. And I know that you got huge ratings, and I know I was part of the reason you got huge ratings, and you nailed me a few times on the stage. So if you want me to be there, cough up $5 million. And if you cough up $5 million, I'll donate it to the Wounded Warrior Project. And so they'll get a huge donation, and then I'll be there. And I really wonder if he's going to stick with that, and if, in fact, CNN would have to have a meeting and debate the merits of not having Donald Trump on the stage, of not having him there to debate, or is it worth it to pay his hostage money, his ransom, so that he's there. I say this, It doesn't matter if you don't like Donald Trump or you like him. He does make it interesting, doesn't he? Just the fear of him not being there could make a network really think about paying the money. We'll see. In Paris, I mentioned this just briefly at the top, clean energy gathering is all about gathering the steam. And the president apologized, in a sense, for America being one of the worst violators. So he's there, and he's one of the 150 at a summit that may not really amount to much coming out of Paris. The thought is, with so many world leaders there, that it has to mean something, and that it is going to mean more than just a nod to, I'm working on it, we're trying to do something. And maybe the strong statements, I think I was a bit surprised, and I listened to these tonight before going on the air. I was listening to what the press said, and pretty much in a nutshell, it's, yes, we are one of those offenders. So Obama has set a target of reducing U.S. carbon emissions over the next decade to a level of at least 26% below what they were in 2005. Republicans are saying, yeah, that's not happening. It's bad for the economy. China, Europe are the dominators of the new energy landscape. With all of those nations gathered in Paris, most have already set targets for limiting heat-trapping carbon emissions. Whether or not the summit produces a comprehensive agreement, clean energy for some of the nations that are there is what they're already saying is going to become a reality in their portion of the globe. And it's wild to have Paris be the backdrop after tragedies a few weeks ago. The conversation is about sea levels. The conversation is about glaciers. The conversation is about weather patterns and whether or not you believe it. China, they say, pumps far more carbon into the atmosphere than any other country. They say they've got a goal of limiting its emissions so that they peak around 2030. Isn't it when they would probably peak anyway? China's emissions are crazy outrageous. But not growing much because they've already hit such a high, I think because they've already hit such a high level point. China dumped 26.7 billion in solar, wind, and other clean energy technologies. 26.7 billion. The U.S., 13.4 billion. Bloomberg came up with those statistics, by the way. 17% of the world's solar power capacity is in China. A third of the world's wind turbines and a third of all the nuclear power reactors under construction, also China. The Paris summit has a great chance to really yield a little of nothing. India, the third biggest carbon emitter, is saying forget limits because that's going to curb us economically and we would need help. Because how could we possibly move from the dirty stage of development? Even if there's an agreement, it's not legally binding. It's not a legally binding treaty. Scientists say the limits pledged so far won't achieve the best case goal of keeping warming, the scientists who believe that, to less than 3.6 degrees by the end of the century. So is it just a pipe dream gathering with a hopeful group of world leaders in the City of Light who are hoping to increase the hysteria or stop the hysteria, depending on your point of view. And it's crazy when you think of the climate, when you think of naysayers and the all-in sayers. And you know, the bottom line is, enacting any kind of legislation that would be, let's say, dramatic, just in the U.S., if something were to happen that's dramatic, it is, the problem is in how would you implement it, because you would have so many Americans who would literally be in the dark. Literally be in the dark. The Washington Post did a poll and it showed that 63% of Americans say climate change is a serious problem. But that slipped from 69% in June. Just over half say the issue is very serious. That also dipped down as well. And I think part of the problem is accessibility. If you're really going to push this boulder up the hill with so many other pressing issues bearing down on the U.S., the notion of affordability, where is that in all of this? I thought about that a couple of weeks ago when I was driving, and I noticed turbine parts were going through the hills where I was, and I thought, wow, that's crazy. That's just one little blade, not even really assembled. And look how many trucks that takes and how many people it takes to get that over a hill. And the problem is, it's not our biggest immediate threat to our national security, this summit. What is the biggest immediate threat to national security? ISIS? Russia? After that? Probably. Is it terrorism? Is that higher on the list than climate change and the summit? I would say yes. And if we're going to talk about climate, you have to talk about affordability, and that's the problem. That's why it's not relatable to most Americans, because truly we would be in the dark. And we are in the dark when it comes to real solid statistics. Hats off to all of you, and thanks so much for listening to America Tonight.
Important holiday inventory announcement from IDStronghold.com.
As many of you have come to know, IDStronghold.com is the number one name in quality RFID blocking wallets that actually do as they say and prevent electronic pickpocketing of the new RFID chips found in credit cards, room keys, subway passes, and more. Last year, due to the extreme popularity of giving IDStronghold wallets and clutches as unique gifts at Christmas time, we ran out of our most popular styles and colors early. The good news is, we now have our holiday inventory ready for same-day shipping. We have added many more designs of beautiful leather wallets and clutches, all with state-of-the-art built-in electronic pickpocket shielding from the most respected name in RFID protection, IDStronghold.com. Don't wait and limit your choices of these great gifts. We are expecting another sellout season. These wallets aren't available in stores, so visit IDStronghold.com today. That's IDStronghold.com.